I want to turn in our Bibles to 1 John. I'll write that down. So 1 through 6. Was that it, Mike? 1 through 6?
Yeah.
For, second chapter, verses 1 through 6. All right, if you want to read along. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. This is a blockbuster, this passage here. I don't know if you notice it. I don't know if you notice what was read. Now, what is so remarkable about what we just read? What's so remarkable is this is not what is preached today. What is remarkable is that we're being taught today that we're saved by grace so we don't have to keep God's commands. Right? Almost? Well, I've had people, you know, I've been preaching this here for 25 years now, and 25 years before we came here, and people say, well, yeah, sure, that's the way he is, you've got a thing about that. Then they go to some other church. And they come back and their eyes are like this. You know? They really do. So I wouldn't kid you. This is not preached. This is not evangelical doctrine. This is the Bible. What are you talking about? I'm talking about what it says. we have come to know him if we obey his commands. Anything about forgiveness, nothing about grace, nothing about belief. So we know him if we keep his commands. Hey, that's kind of rad. It says, the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a fabricator. And the truth is not in him. On top of that, Bible has these amazing redundancies. But if anyone obeys his words, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Well, okay. That's the Bible. We believe it. So, why is he writing like this? Because in the first century, people were teaching, guess what? That we don't have to keep his commands. They were called Gnostics. So now, 1 John writes, and it applies today because we have a neo-Gnosticism. We have antinomianism, neo-antinomianism, that you don't have to do it. Just believe. That the gospel is believing people. If you believe, you will do. If you don't do, you don't have belief. There's no belief without doing. An abstract belief is not a belief at all. Wesley called it a mental assent. I assent to the truths of the gospel that Christ was died for our sins and was raised on the third day, then he's coming again. I assent to that. Does that save me? No. That doesn't save me. That orients me toward Christianity. But we have to believe the Bible. How many believe we have to believe the Bible? Well, this is the Bible. The Bible says, if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know him. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. Well, then belief is not salvation. I know Romans 10, 9, and 10. I know it well. But you can't take it out of its context. You have to tie it up with the sixth chapter of Romans, which says we have to refuse to be a slave of sin. You can't just take a lop out something and say that's it. Well, anyway, you all know that. You heard me say it for 25 years. But I thought you would enjoy hearing it again. Probably mistaken in that. Well, what are we going to talk about this morning? We're going to talk about discipleship. We're going to talk in particular about the 12 results of cross-carrying obedience, but we probably won't get past the first one. But you can read it. It's on www.mount-zion.org, and you click on Current Topics. And everything I'm going to tell you is there. That's where I keep you up to date. Not on the main site, WOR. That's all, you know, universal truth. But the current stuff is on our church site, www.mount-zion.org. You go through there. There's about 7 pages in there you can click on. You click on Current Topics. And the last one is dated 11/24, I think. So it's right up to snuff. And it's called 12 Results of Cross-Carrying Obedience. So, that's that. Now, I think I'd like to start off with Luke 9:23. This is a big topic, but as I say, you can read it, so we don't get anywhere today. You can read it. Well, let's start with Luke 9:23. Now, one may ask, where in the world does this fit into Christianity? Because we've been taught another gospel. What we have today in the 21st century is another gospel. We say, believe that Christ is the Son of God, accept him for your sins. Maybe we add be baptized in water. Some don't even add that. And guess what? When you die, you will go straight to heaven. Probably go there before then in a rapture. Where does this fit? Well, for people in Tape Land, I'll read it. Because they're probably driving down the highway and said, I wish he would read it. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Well, where in the world does that fit into the 4 steps of salvation? It doesn't. We're preaching another gospel. Enough of that. Now, the truth is, people, if you're going to be a Christian, and there's no... Oh, let me explain something. The Christian religion is divided into 2 parts. The first part is a religion, pure and simple, like any other religion. We have our own book, our special book. We have our special songs. We have our special practices. We have our special architecture, like the Muslim religion or the Hindu religion or
what have you.
And what you do, you subscribe to the doctrines of your particular group, and you attend, and you help support the endeavor. That's one part of Christianity. This is the other part. This is discipleship. Now, all disciples are members of the Christian religion. But not all members of the Christian religion are disciples. So you have to make up your mind this morning whether you want to be a disciple or whether you want to be merely a member of a religion. The Christian religion, as it's preached today, makes very, very few demands on you. But discipleship makes total demands on you. That's really, really something else. But there are results. This thing I'm writing about is called 12 results of cross-carrying obedience. Or you could say 12 results of being a disciple, whatever you want to. This produces, what I mean by this, denying yourself. Now, what that does not mean you can't do what you want. That doesn't what I mean. It means that in each choice you make during the day, and you'll probably make upward of 30,000 choices today, most of them very minimal, maybe one or two major, like should you have cheese on your Whopper. That is a relatively minor choice. But you might make a major choice today, like whether you watch an X-rated movie or something. Now, to deny yourself is not talking about asceticism. It is not talking about living like a hermit without doing anything. It's talking about asking Jesus about everything you do. Now, believe me, that's a way of life. And it's something that has to be practiced until it becomes second nature. You ask Jesus about everything you do, no matter how small it is, about cheese on the Whopper? Yes. Who knows? You might be building up cholesterol and the Lord knows it. Right? Right. So before you begin to have far-out feelings, the Lord's trying to correct it, see? But if you just say, oh, I'm so hungry, I've put two slices on. Yeah, on a double. No, I want a monster burger. I'm ravenous. But maybe that's not good for you. Maybe right now your blood pressure is 350 on the diastolic. And you don't know it because you've been feeling a little funny lately, but, you know, I mean, it's the weather. It's changing the weather. So it's very important that you ask God about everything. Oh, I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to Grandma's house on Thanksgiving. You know where Grandma's house is now? The hometown buffet. That's Grandma's house now. They're all over there, believe me. Over the field and through the woods to the hometown buffet. Listen, you don't just do things, you ask Jesus. Well, that's a drag. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Because if you ask the Lord, the things will work better. So for the little bit of energy and concentration that you spend asking the Lord is well worth the payoff. Well worth the payoff. Otherwise, you don't know what you're getting into because you didn't ask the Lord, and then it's your own fault. You can't say, well, God, how come you didn't tell me it was going to be like this? Well, you didn't ask him. So denying yourself, sometimes it does mean that you will turn away from something that you fervently desire. But if that's the case, there's a reason for it, and it's always, God is always moving us toward joy. He's always moving us toward joy. Amen. And you've got to believe that. That's the heart of faith. That's the heart of faith. That was the question raised in the Garden of Eden. Does God want me to have joy or not? Satan said, no. No, he doesn't. You can't. He can't be trusted. You've got to take matters into your own hands. And boy, did they, big time. We got 6,000 years to show the wisdom of that move. God was leading. God put them in a place of perfect joy in Eden. And all he did was say, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Which, by the way, people are preaching today, that's a bad tree. That's not a bad tree. There's no bad trees in Eden. That actually is the Lord Jesus Christ, just the same as the tree of life is. Their problem was that they ate it in the wrong order. Not that there's anything wrong with it. Check it out in Genesis. It says God put trees that were good for food. They're all good for food. In fact, it's just now that the Christian church is coming to the place where we can begin to get the knowledge of good and evil. I mean, we Christians are as simple as doves and harmless as serpents. Because we don't know the difference between good and evil, because we've had this belief thing until we think, well, God's seeing me through Christ, so if I lie, I'm really telling the truth. We're in kind of schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. So, you see, and in fact, how many remember what God said? Now, let's put them out before they get the knowledge of good and evil and become like us. See, because God knows the difference between good and evil. So eating of that tree, their problem was that God didn't want them to know they were in a shameful condition because he knew they'd run, and they did. So the basic problem of mankind is very simply expressed. We don't trust that God is bringing us to joy. We don't believe that. We think, well, boy, if I ask God, maybe he'll tell me I can't do something and I want to do it so bad. So the issue is God bringing us to joy or not? And you have to decide that for yourself, whether you want to run your own life or let Jesus run it. Okay? So this up here, this Luke 9:23, is what Christianity is. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to be a Christian. Not some recitation of doctrine. That is not what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to be a Christian. If any man will come after me, that is, be my disciple, he must deny himself. Now, what is it? Habakkuk 2, verse 3. His soul, which is lifted up in him, is not upright. What's the rest of that? But the just shall live by faith. See, the contrast is not between being believing and not believing. The contrast is whether you walk in your own arrogance. I'll leave that one up. Or whether we walk with God. See, that's what faith is. Faith is walking with God. Maybe we better look at that. We come back here, Mike. Because this verse is repeated 4 times in the Bible, once in the Old Testament and 3 in the New. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright. See, that's the contrast. But the righteous live by faith. So living by faith is not contrasted with believing. Living by faith is contrasted with whether you walk with God or whether you walk in your own desires. Okay, back to discipleship. Please and thank you. Now, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Instead of being all aflame with your own heaven and your own earth that you're creating, instead of doing that, ask the Lord about everything you're doing. See, that's what it means to deny yourself, deny your right to run your life in your own way. That's what it means. Doesn't mean that you can't do something that you want to do. Maybe God wants you to do it, but you never know unless you ask Him. So denying yourself as a disciple means asking the Lord about everything. Okay? Then it says, and take up His cross daily. Not just Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, daily. Now, what does it mean to take up your cross? It means that God gives to every disciple, not to church members, because church members are not in touch. They're saved and they sing their hymns and they talk in tongues and maybe prophesy, but that's all church membership. So they're not living in that close interaction with Jesus that is discipleship. Discipleship is walking with Jesus in very close contact all the time. See, that's what disciples. A disciple is someone who has a master and he learns from his master. Eventually you'll be like your master. That's what it says when the student he says he can become as his master. When we follow Him, we learn everything He's telling us, then we become like Him. We become like our Master. And that's what 1 John says. He says, abide in Him also to walk as He walks. Now, that's what the Lord wants from you and me. He doesn't want you to just to be a member of a religion. That is dead. That's just another religion. Christianity is just another religion. That's all it is, another religion. We got our book, we got our architecture, we got our songs, and so on. But that is not what the Christian salvation is. The Christian salvation is a change from what you are into something new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God. All. Well, what does that mean? There's nothing of the old left. So, God is moving us from one type of humanity to another. The first type of humanity, they're both humanity, but one is much superior to the other. The humanity the Lord is bringing us to is as superior to our original humanity as man is to an animal. Very superior. It's a new creation. So, what is the old creation called? Well, you can call it the old nature. NIV calls it the sinful nature. I like to call it the Adamic nature because we're descended in a bloodline from Adam. Through Noah's family. Okay, we're descended in a bloodline from Adam. That's a nature that we inherited. But that's one type of humanity. That's an Adamic humanity. The new type of humanity is called a life-giving spirit. It's in 1 Corinthians 15:45, a life-giving spirit. Now, what sense does that make? It means that the Lord wants to make you and me a source of eternal life for other people. Now we say that, you know, we say, haven't you ever thought, boy, I'd like to go out and bring life to somebody. I'd like to see the dead live. Well, you may put it in other terms. You may call it soul winning or call it whatever you like. But actually, what you would like to do is bring eternal life to other people. Is that right? Well, you don't do it just by preaching. God wants you to be able to do it by communication, by what you are. Just like Jesus is a tree of life, is the big tree of life. But out from Jesus are growing. Did you ever see there's some trees that they send out roots and from those roots will come up other trees? Have you ever seen that? And they're all related back to one tree. Well, that's what pepper trees do that, I think. That is the way it is with Jesus. He's the tree of life. And he wants to bring up more trees of life, so that you can be a blessing to other people. Other people are not going to profit from your Adamic nature, because your Adamic nature is dead. It was born dead. It died in Adam, and it's still dead, and that's why you have the problem living righteously that you do. You'd like to live righteously. You'd like to always tell the truth. You'd like to be always loving, always kind, always gentle, always joyous. Isn't that true? Well, why aren't you? Because you've got a nature that is not that way. Under enough pressure, the most truthful person will lie. Under enough pressure, the most faithful person will become treacherous. The Adamic nature is just not that solid. And all of us have good in us, varying from person to person. Some of us are just naturally kind. Others of us tend to be cruel by nature, a cruel person by nature. Some of us just naturally tend to tell the truth. Others of us would lie when we don't even have to. We all have our strengths, and we all have our weaknesses. But the greatest strength of the Adamic nature will fall under pressure, because it was created from the dust of the ground. And then it was inherited down through the line of Adam. God never intended for the Adamic nature to be permanent. It's a prototype. It's only a substance that God used to begin his great work of bringing forth people in his image. The Adamic nature can never be in God's image. It is not like God. It's created from the dust of the ground. And it has 6,000 years of sin and rebellion. That's what you inherited. Did you ever notice sometimes the problems that your parents have show up in you? Did you ever notice that? A lot of things that we have are inherited. And so, that's Adam. He's a great guy. He goes through life whistling, you know, usually doing things he hadn't ought to do. And he gets, there's like a song that's played, and there's a few laughs and a lot of tears, and it's over. We go, we're there when they're born, and the way I'm lasting, probably everybody in the place would be dead before I am. But anyway, don't worry about it. A few laughs, a lot of tears, and we're out of here. Isn't it so? I know when you're young, it seems like you're going to live forever, but you won't. I'm telling you, the time goes by so quickly. That's it. That's Adam. He's like a flower. He comes up, and he looks real good, and then pretty soon he wilts, and then he's gone. And that's what it says in Isaiah. A man is as the grass of the field. Well, this is not the way God does to make something and it comes up and blossoms and then it dies. That's not the way God does things at all. And the great mistake, if you're going to make a mistake in your life, I'll tell you the big one to make. Concentrate on your Adamic nature. Give it everything it wants. Take care of it. Make sure that everything it wants, nothing is denied to it. And you will completely miss God's plan for your life, because God's plan is not to save what you are. He's not saving your Adamic nature. 1 Corinthians 15, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not the Adamic nature. Okay? So in 1 Corinthians 15, 45, we see that the last Adam is made a life-giving spirit. Now, that's what God wants to make you, is someone who is growing. Like Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living, but it's not I, but Christ who is living in me. Did Paul say that? Maybe?
He did.
He might have. In fact, I think he did. Yeah, he did. Come think about it. Well, if Paul said, I'm not living anymore, but Christ is living in me, then what he's saying is, I have become a tree of life. I charge it, isn't it? But isn't it the truth? If Christ is living in Paul, then God's life is living in Paul. Then Paul becomes a source of God's life. Is that true? Sounds right. Okay, so let's go back and review for a minute. What are we saying? We're saying that there's Christianity that is a religion, like all other religions. It has a special book, special things you attend, you pay your bills, you go through it, you're born there and married there and then die there and that's it. But there's another institution, and it's called discipleship. And that's what true Christianity is. Because true Christianity is not a religion. It is a change from one kind of humanity to another. A new creation. From one kind of humanity to another. Now, if you miss that, you miss what Christianity is. If you just go through life being a church member, you miss it. I don't care how good a person you are. That's not the issue. We're talking about supernatural change. Change that comes from God. Okay, so in order to accomplish this, you say, well, then how do you get changed? You get changed by three things. By denying your impulses and praying, one. Especially bearing your cross, two. And thirdly, by following Christ all the time. You can't separate those. The three go together if you follow Christ. Okay, so let's say you're here this morning. And you say, well, I never heard anything like that in my life, but I guess it must be true because the Bible says so. Alright. So, well, I don't want to be just a church member because the man says that's going nowhere. I want to be a disciple. I want to really do the number. Okay? So what do? You tell the Lord about it. I mean, you have to do it just like you confess Christ. You have to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you. You have to verbalize it. You don't want to just slide into it. Christmas coming up, your mind will be all over the place. You have to come to Christ just like you were coming to him for salvation and say, Lord, I want to be your disciple. How many remember there were thousands and thousands of people that followed Jesus? But he only had a handful of disciples. So it is today. And it's up to you. And your mother and your father can't do it for you. Going to church won't do it for you. The pastor can't do it for you. There's a man who is alive. His name is Jesus. We can't see him. He's invisible. But he's there and he's here. And he knows what you're thinking right now. And you've got to come to him and say, Lord, I don't want to be a part of the mob out there that follows you because you get something to eat. I want to be your disciple. I want to do the number. You'll have to do that before the wheels start turning in your life. You've got to tell the Lord this is what you want, that you're in it for the duration. Because the Lord says if you put your hand to the plow and looking back, what then? You're not worthy of the kingdom. So you better think about it. Is this what you really want? Do you really want to be a disciple? Now, what is accomplished by discipleship? Well, I listed 12 things. Before we look at those 12, I think I want to just emphasize one fact, and then we'll look at the 12. So get the 12 results ready, Mike, and then we'll just... I won't have time to preach on all of them, obviously. But there are results of being a disciple. Something results from being a disciple that will not result from being a church member. Will not result from it at all. You can forget it. Most of you have had considerable experience in church. Some of you have been raised in church. Have you ever noticed that people don't change? You'll have people in church for 50 years. They don't change. 50 years ago, they were malicious, critical, and gossips. 50 years later, they are malicious, critical, and gossips. I'm talking about tongue-speaking people. They don't change. That'd be a dumb way to run a school. After 50 years, you didn't learn anything. But that's because religion doesn't change you. It will not change you. You won't change. You don't become a new creation by being a member of the Christian religion. The dynamics of change, change depends upon your denying yourself, that is, bringing everything of your life to Jesus, taking up your cross, your personal cross, not your cross you got on a necklace that you put on your neck. I'm not talking about that. And thirdly, you've got to follow Jesus all the time. That will produce change, and we'll look at 12 changes in a moment, but I'm not going to preach on all of them, so don't sweat it, all right? Now, the most important change maker, or catalyst, or whatever you want to call it, the place where the change occurs is in this business of the personal cross of the believer. That's where the change occurs. Now, could you please spell that out for me so I'll know what you're talking about? Once you decide to be a disciple, the Lord will give you a cross to bear. Now, that cross will consist of one or two things, or possibly both in conjunction, one with the other. One of the parts of your cross will be, there will be things that you want so bad you can hardly stand it. But you can't possess it without breaking God's laws. The second part of the cross is that you are compelled to stay in a situation that you detest. And you can't get out of that situation without breaking God's laws. Sometimes those two run together, where you're not getting what you want, and you are getting what you don't want. Now, it's right there that change occurs. You see, how shall I say it? This is a seller's market. Let me explain what I mean by that. Sometimes we picture God as being so anxious that we get saved. And He is. I know about the 90 and 9 and the rest and about rejoicing when a son comes home. I understand that. But sometimes that's overdone. It's like God is so anxious, He'll accept anything. Like He can't stand His son being away, so He runs over to where the pig trough is. And there's His son sitting in the pig trough. And He says, "Just slip up your hand, son. That's all I'm asking. Stay there with your blonde, your whiskey, and the rest of it. Just slip up your hand, son. I'm just dying to be your father." See, there is a point about the 90 and 9, as Ira Sankey used to say. There is a thing where the angels of God rejoice. But they rejoice when the sinner does what? Comes home. Comes home. Not when he sits there in the pig trough and they say, "All you've got to do is believe." That doesn't do the man any good. His son didn't come home. He's not going to go. This man isn't going to go live in the pig trough with his son. The son comes to himself and says, "Well, the servants in my father's house eat better than I am here. I think what I better do is go home." Then the father received him. This is a seller's market. When God is talking about what you can gain by bearing your cross, believe me, it's a seller's market. He's telling you, "I've got something so great for you that it's not even describable. But this is what you're going to have to do to get it." And that's a true picture. Okay, so here you are, and this is especially pertinent to American people because we have been taught that we deserve everything. We've been taught that we deserve everything. We have a right to all the food we want and the best house and the best car. We just have a right to everything. Well, a lot of the world does not live like we do. How many know that? There's a lot of people in Afghanistan don't live like we do. Afghanistan. That don't live like we do. How many know that? They don't live like we do. But we've got the feeling somehow we deserve that. We deserve to have the food and the money and all this, and if the other people don't have it, boy, that's unfortunate, and I'll slip them $5, but fundamentally, I'm an American, I'm here, I'm a Christian, what's your problem? You know, you're in the wrong religion. See? We've got that feeling. And so when you preach to American Christians that if you are going to partake of the transformation from an Adamic nature to a life-giving spirit, to become a transcendent form of humanity, if you're going to do, which is what the Lord is after, brothers for the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in Romans, if this is what you're after, then you have to know as an American that you cannot have, how can I say this? I'm not saying that you can't ever have anything that you want. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there will be some point in your life that God will give you to demonstrate your sincerity and your desperation to get what God wants. And God says, all right. And you know, it may be something that God puts in your heart. Like in Christ, he was in his heart to be a king. That's how he was tempted, to be a king. Take a shortcut. Worship me and you'll be a king. See, that was in his heart. So sometimes these things that you want so desperately are actually put there by the Lord. But it's just like training a dog in a way. If you're going to have a dog that's obedient, the dog has to know when he can come and eat and when he can't. Or he's not trained. If you can put a bone down there and he runs and gets it, doesn't look at you or anything, you don't have a trained dog. You got an ordinary dog. But a real trained dog obeys what you say. You say, no. The bone's in front of him. No. Dog won't touch it. Now, that is so contrary to our Adamic nature, to our first nature, that we can't even picture it. Because in our first nature, we get what we can, sometimes hurting other people. We just get what we can. Is that right? But not so if you're following Jesus. You say, Lord, and it may be something you want, you know, till it's pulling up from your toenails. You want it so bad, and you go to the Lord, and the Lord says, no. That's a cross. And whenever you become a disciple, you're going to get a cross. Now, that's why so few people are disciples. They'll settle for the Christian religion and hope it comes out in the wash. But it won't. Because the cross is the catalyst. It's the thing that produces change. Why does it produce change? Because every day as you get up and you realize, you know, I want this thing so bad. Or I detest what I'm going to have to face today. I just can't stand this for another minute. Have you ever said, I can't stand this for another minute? I'm not saying just take it because you don't want it. You go to the Lord. And you say, Lord, is it your will that I cut and run? Or is it your will that I stay here? See, that's where they run together. So you have to do it all together. And you say, I can't stand this for another minute. A true disciple may be standing that for another 40 years. Say, let me out of here. I tell you the truth. That's the way it is. Now what happens in this 40 years? When you get up in the morning, you can't detest what you're facing. So what does it do? It drives you to prayer. It drives you to the Lord. It drives you into the Lord further and further and further. And every time you get up and there's something that you want and you can't have it, and you know it because you're going to have to break God's laws to get it, something in you dies. And guess what dies? Your Adamic nature. And that's how you kill it. But that isn't the end of the story. Something comes to life. What comes to life? Christ. Not even Christ-likeness. Christ, his supernatural person, is fed to you. In the spiritual realm, his body and blood are fed to you. So you're dying and you're living, and you're dying and you're living, and you're dying and you're living, and you're dying and you're living daily. Now, does that mean that your whole life is miserable? It will not be miserable unless you just focus on what you don't like. What you do is say, okay, I can't have this, and it's a pain, but there are things I can do. So instead of doing your self-pity number, well, I can't have that, so I don't want to play. I'll take my fire truck and go home. You say, okay, God, if that's the way it is, you're bringing me to joy. I don't understand it, but you're bringing me to joy. That's my faith says, and I'm dying on the spot, but this is what my faith tells me. So then you think about something else. You get your mind off what you can't have and think about what you can have. And there'll always be things you can have. It's just that one thing. It's just that one thing that's the cross. I finally got to the baby. Baby says, let me out. You dropped something, Felicia. There. It's really simple, isn't it? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. 12 results, Mike. And I don't expect you to understand this at all, but I'm going to just put it up here. We may preach on it tonight. I don't know. I don't have much more time left here. The first one, for those on the freeway listening to the tape, which people do in their cars, is stern obedience to all of God's commands. And that's why I read the opening scripture as I did. You will not obey God's commands unless you carry your cross, because they require something that your Adamic nature is not going to want to do. But when you're used to carrying your cross, then God's commandments... Can you flip up there those commands? I wrote down some commandments so we won't be talking in a vacuum here. I'll give you some idea of the kind of commandments I'm talking about. These are things you will not do unless you're carrying your cross. You simply will not do it because it's too painful. It says, you see it there? It says commandments. Silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. To the people in Tape Land, we're waiting for the commandments to appear. Technical difficulties from the electronic origin. Just tell me when it's up there. Oh, and I'll read you. I'll read some of them to you. I got them right here, a list of commandments. It says list of commandments. Now here's an example. And what did I say? You're not going to do these unless what? Unless you're carrying your cross. So there are results. There are things that result from carrying your cross that will not result from what? Well, if the kids don't know, it's the teacher's fault. If you're just a member of the Christian religion, these 12 results are not going to take place. You're not going to be transformed. It isn't going to happen. You're going to be the same when you start in church and when you end up 50 years later and you finally end up in a nursing home and then we come to your funeral, you'll still be the same old person. I'm the same old person that I was. And guess what? You're going to pass into eternity that way. Oh, but when I die, I'm going to be an apostle. No, when you die, if you are a mean, bitter, self-willed person and you die, guess what you're going to be in the spirit realm? A mean, bitter, self-willed person. Death is not your redeemer. How many want to enter into paradise, a mean, bitter, self-willed person? Slip your hand up. Here's an example of the commandments. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Hello? Hello? You're not going to do that if you're not a cross-carrying person. You say, forget that. They insulted me. I won't forget it either. I may be a while getting my revenge, but I'll get it. A lady said that to me one time, a dear Christian lady. She says, I get them eventually. Oh, what a sweet spirit. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not let sin reign in your body. Well, you're not going to do that if you're just a church member. You're going to sin all over the place and trust and believe. So I believe. So God sees me through Christ. So it doesn't really matter what I do because God sees me through Christ, which is not even in the scripture. It's not even a scriptural expression. Preached all the time. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. Well, entering into the rest means you're entering into that place where your will and God's will are one and the same, and there are so many adversaries and so many obstacles in the way, you're never going to do it unless you're one of these guys slugging along, dying and living, dying and living. You'll end up in the rest of God. Your will and God's will be one will, and that, brother, sister, is the only place of freedom in the universe, is where your will and God's will are the same. Until that's true, you're going to be in an uproar. The cross does that for you. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Well, when you're carrying your cross, guess what it does to your prayer life? Keeps you praying. You know, I can't make it, Lord. Well, can you make it for 5 minutes? Yes. Well, then let's do 5 minutes and then we'll take it from there. That's what your cross does. It makes you pray. Well, look at that go. Well, look at those guys go. All right. Let us, all right. Now scroll because we're down in the next one. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Well, obviously, if there's something fascinating on television, the Super Bowl or something, well, we gather together. Well, I went quite a few times, and I don't want to overdo it, so I'll stay home and watch the television. But the cross-carrying person doesn't do that. He's used to denying himself. The most wonderful thing that ever happened. Harry Potter's going to appear on television and everyone that watches is going to find that he's got $5 million in his lap. Everybody, because Harry Potter is going to wave his wand. Guess where all the Christians will be? They don't believe it, but they'll be home just in case. That's where the church members will be. But the disciples, they didn't care anything about Harry Potter and all the rest of the world. They're marching to another drum. They're living in another realm. Forced there by the cross. It forces them. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. As he has called you as holy, so be holy. Holy. Holiness. Now, what is holiness? Well, it's better felt than telt, really. You're living before God and you're in a cleanliness. This is a spiritual cleanliness. I swear God's people don't know the difference between worldliness and holiness. They don't. They stagger around. Well, this must be a good thing. There's nothing wrong with Walt Disney. Well, what's wrong with Walt Disney? And what's wrong with this? You know, and blah, blah, blah. And you can't explain it to people. Either you got it or you don't. Holiness is just a love for the things of God, and when you have it, you know when a thing is wrong. You just know it. You can't always explain it. People begin to pick it apart and say, well, now, just exactly what part is wrong here? Well, you know the old saying, if you don't know, I'm certainly not going to tell you. No, you either have a heart for holiness or you don't. If you do, then you can tell what's wrong with the Titanic and Harry Potter and everything else that goes down, including Walt Disney. But if you don't, you'll never see the difference. It can't be explained, really. It's like the square root of minus one. It's hard to grasp. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness. You're supposed to do those things. Well, you can read about it in 1 Peter. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That's not Adam. That's not Adam. Boy, he can go up to 200 degrees Fahrenheit. 2.5 seconds. Well, the steam is coming out of his ears. He turns red like a tomato. Well, there's Christians like that. Why? Because they're not carrying a cross. They were like that when they started in church. 50 years later, they're still like that. And the pastor has to go very careful what he says, because they're just liable to blow up like Vesuvius. 50 years they've been in the church, our dear pastor and his dear sermons. But he'd rather not do that if he'll hear from me. Oh, you look so sanctified out. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Shall we stand?